I feel at the moment the Lord is just bringing up things, yes, that we've heard in the past, but we do need to be reminded. And so we're calling our teaching today, First Things First. First Things First. Now, it doesn't take very long when you are saved and you come to Jesus, that the Lord clearly reveals to us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, our soul, our being. In other words, to love Him entirely with every fiber and being within us. And He soon reveals that when you become a Christian, and rightly so. Because it's showing us what He desires, what is important for us to be able to be overcomers in this life and not to be overcome. And sadly, we are seeing a lot of believers who are being overcome by the things of this world, the spirit of this age. And we, all of us, have been tested in this area, because if we're not tested, if God doesn't at times allow the hedge to come down, we're not really going to know fully what it is God is preserving and keeping us from. Sometimes He has to allow a believer or even a church to go for a season into the permissive will of God. And there's a great learning curve from that. There's something that you really learn from this. And we see it so much in Scripture with the saints who are called of God, where for a season He may allow them to go their own way, bring their own thing, what they want to do. And I'm, of course, reminded of the prodigal son, where he comes back. He's learned a big lesson. God has allowed him to go for a season to do his own thing, to find that he is so miserable, he is so unhappy, that he comes back and they celebrate and get the fatted calf out. And the reason for that is, the reason that there's a celebration for him is because they know he ain't going to do it again. He has learnt a lesson. He has had to taste of something that works it from his head to his heart. And this is what God does with us. Maybe not always so drastically, but He's ever working with us so that we get these godly affections, these desires to obey him from the heart. It is never ever going to work if it's simply from the head or simply from emotions. And God knows that. And that's why God equips us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and gives us the scriptures, because he's ever working with the heart, changing that, replacing and putting those godly affections. And they are there for a reason, two reasons. One, faith to believe, and the other simply is to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And most of us in our flesh freak out at that point, because we know that we do anything but. But we serve a great and almighty God, when nothing is impossible to him. So we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart. And we're calling this teaching today, remember, first things first. And that is why we constantly are reminding you to seek the kingdom. You need to hear say these things. You need to hear yourself confess these things when you wake up in the morning. And before you even get out of bed, it is the kingdom this day I seek, Father. It is Jesus I look to this day. Whether you've got a rotten head, whether you feel still tired, or whether you still want another hour in bed, or whatever it would be, because I know what it's like when you sit on the side of that bed, sometimes you can feel awful. But rise above it. Let your confession rise above those feelings, and confess what God's word says. Agree with the word. Because when you agree with the word, you agree with Almighty God. And you know, you find yourself very quickly rising above it. That is the power of the word. This is why it is a sacrifice. This meeting today is a sacrifice. We'd probably sooner be at home, sitting in our chair, doing our own thing. And here, some have made the effort. They've come here today to worship and praise God. We have to rise above these emotions. We have to rise above these hindrances. We have to rise above the devil who's trying to stop this body going on and meeting and coming together. And I know it's not easy. And it starts the moment you wake up, and before you get out of bed. That is going to determine what sort of day you're going to have. And often it does. The victory is right there before your feet have touched the ground as to what sort of day you're going to have. And you can decide that, brothers and sisters. That is your choice. You can decide to sow to the flesh or to the spirit this day. You have a choice. Now, some of you might be saying, oh, we've heard this before, Pastor, but it's all very well said and done. You don't know my life. You don't know what week I've had. You don't know what night I've had and so on. Well, I can tell you I do, because I am human, and I go through it the same. But I cannot change this message, because I know that it works. That's why. And we are living proof that it works. That whatever we go through, whatever the emotions, we put first things first, and we start to confess it. Get the confession going. Because in that confession brings that possession. And you will find yourself rising above all the symptoms, all the negative. Oh, I've got a busy day today. Oh, I've got a tough day in the office, or whatever it is we're meeting. Rise above it with your confession, because it is so powerful. We have to agree with Almighty God. We have to agree with his word. And the power of his word, the very power that raised Jesus from the grave, is the very power that's working on our behalf. Otherwise, we become subject to our emotion, depression, and all those things the enemy tries to bring us down. and so on. But none of this can really be achieved until we are willing to surrender that self-life. And so there we find, in our time, when we're getting up in the morning, we also find ourselves saying, Lord, it is not my will, your will today. That is all I live for. That is the reason I get up. That is the reason I meet this day, because it is your will, not my will. Don't try and work out how he's going to achieve that, how he's going to work that. The Holy Spirit will work that. And you'll see through the course of the day how God is working his will against your will. And even if you find your will starting to oppose God, you can simply remind the enemy, well, Satan, I committed my will over to God today. You better take it up with him, because that's what I'm believing, and I've settled it. That's how you overcome. That's how you overcome the enemy. You may be out of the will of God. You may have slipped, but you remind what it is you want, what it is you have settled for. And you'd be amazed how God works on your behalf. From where you've slipped up, yes, you've even sinned, or whatever it is. It's surrendering that self-life. Each day is a challenge. I know this. But you've got to put the right things first. You see, the surrender of the self-life each day isn't always going to be easy in the natural. Satan's going to oppose it. He's going to throw challenges. He's going to throw obstacles. But as far as you're concerned, you've settled it. That's why we're overcomers. That's why we're here today. We've settled this war. We've settled the cross. It's what I take up daily and I follow. Yes, my life hasn't been very good today. It's been a rotten day, or whatever it is. But Satan, if you've got any issues, take it up with God, because as far as I'm concerned, that's what I'm believing for. Period. End. No more. There's no more conversation. That is it, you see? And that is what we have to do sometimes. That is what we literally have to say in the midst of things going so wrong or looking so negative. The trouble is, why we don't do this, and here is the problem. We still at times make it conditional. Our surrender, if, and there's the word, that little two-letter word, if. Our surrender, if he gives me what I'm really wanting. Or he blesses me today. Our surrender, Lord, if you bless me. I'm going out today, and I'm hoping to have a really nice time. I'm believing your blessing upon my day out, and I'll surrender as a result. Now, it doesn't work that way. But we can at times still subtly do this. Or I suppose I have to take up the cross, because that's what is preached at the Full Gospel Assembly. And I like going now, and I want to be a part of it, so I better go along with it, because that's what's taught and that's what's preached. Forget it, because it's not going to work. We say over and over again, if those desires are not within your heart, then ask the Holy Spirit to put them there. And he certainly will. The problem is, when you're doing this sort of thing, you're never going to know the real peace and joy of the Lord, which is such an anchor. I think it's not until we go through these real trials do we value and appreciate God's presence, which brings us peace, not happiness. That's what the world looks for. have a happy day or have a happy birthday? Or what's wrong with having some happiness in your life? The trouble is with happiness, it's like feelings. It's there 1 minute and it's gone. The Lord gives us a joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Happiness does not give you strength. It is only the joy of the Lord that gives you strength to stand through trial, tribulation, and whatever it is. Because with joy, there's also the peace of God, which passes all understanding. What did Jesus say when he appeared to the disciples? First thing he said to them, my peace. And that is what he says to you, my peace to you, child. And it brings everything into focus. It calms us down. It causes us to look back and look at Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. So it's that joy and peace that he gives to us. And so when we do yield, we surrender, then the Holy Spirit gives us a taste of his joy and his peace. It's in that surrendering, that yielding over, that that peace, that joy comes, which is what we're desperately crying out for. That is our problem. We're trying to create a peace and joy by doing something or buying something new or whatever it is, thinking that ministering to the flesh brings that peace and joy. It doesn't. What brings that true peace and joy is as I surrender, I yield over. Our life is a sacrificial life. Maybe we've never thought about that, but that is what the overcomer's life and walk is. Our life is a living sacrifice. The nature of our call is sacrificial in nature. And that's not going to change, brothers and sisters. And God has an absolute reason for that. But the ultimate of the surrendered life, of course, is found in John 15. Where one lays one's life down. John 15, 13 to 14. John chapter 15, verses 13 to 14. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So there it is. There's the fulfillment. There's that sacrificial nature, thinking, attitude. You see, we often do anything. We'll do anything for Jesus. We'll lay our lives down for Jesus. But the ultimate goal is to lay down our life for our friend. I've got many friends, so don't think I could lay down my life down. You know, I haven't got many friends at all. See, we'll lay it for Jesus if it were called for, but it's a different thing when it is for our friend. Now, not that we take that for granted, but most of us may never be called to do that. It's possible, but we may not. But the principle lies from that. And what do we glean from that? We glean that my love for my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my enemy is sacrificial in nature. It is giving. It is doing things that naturally I probably would not do. But it is a willingness to be sacrificial in my love for the unity and oneness of Christ, and also for my friend, my neighbor, my enemy, whoever it will be. That has to be the principle running in our Christian life and walk. Because everything stems from that. The body of Christ can only stand in these last days. It can only stem from that. When God sees that sacrificial love, that is what he empowers. You know, we're wanting to see the greater works, but I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that is where it comes from. It'll come from nothing else. Our empowerment to see these greater works and these gifts set in operation comes from our sacrifice, this sacrificial love, this willingness to lay our lives down. We lay our lives down. Our lives don't mean anything for the sake of unity, oneness. That it's irrelevant in that sense. What is the most important thing is God's glory, God's house, and the principles that he set into that. Now, only God can do this. We know that none of this, what I've just shared with you, lies within human nature, lies within our flesh. It's impossible. So what is new? So I have to believe that God changes me, empowers me, molds me to be able to live and walk such a life. Because there's no way I can do it. And I told them of that. I've been absolutely clear over the years. I can't walk this walk. It's impossible. But I desire, I choose to believe that Christ, who lives his life through me and my brothers and sisters, can emulate that life, which is the life of Christ, through each one of us. And indeed he does. That's why it's always about him and not about us. Putting first things first is about Jesus and what he does. Laying our lives down for our friends is about Jesus and what he does and how he achieves, and he works that in and through each one of us. Because if you do not see it like that, you will run away. The disciples ran away at the hour of Jesus' need when put to the cross, because they failed to see it. And we'll do exactly the same. And it takes a big trial. It takes something that knocks us off our perch. Then we realize that it's not there. The anchor is not there. But of course, Jesus brought them back, didn't he, into fellowship. And he said, you will receive the Spirit from on high. The baptism of the Spirit. This is why the baptism of the Spirit is so essential for us to be able to live this life in these last days. But the ultimate goal is to lay one's life down for one's friend. And this is where Jesus is our example here. Let's turn to Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written within my heart. Who writes that within the heart? Who puts that there? Jesus. That's the one who puts it there. Now, you either believe his writing's not. You believe it's there or it isn't. And that's why we walk by faith. Can't go by feelings or emotions, but that is what he has put there. And he is putting that there as we come together, as we hear the word of God. You see, we will often do anything for Jesus. But the ultimate goal, as I've said, is to lay down your life for your friend. That's the test. You see, our sacrifice comes from his example. And we keep our eyes on him only, and his molding influence becomes evident in my life. As I look to him constantly, he is molding, working the image of his son in and through my life. Now don't ask me how he does that, but he does do that. But I'll give you a clue which reveals how this is done. You are spiritual. You are spirits with a body. You are not a body with a spirit. You are spirit with a body. And he has put, and we're made in his image. We are spiritual. We have an outer casing, but I am spiritual. And the spiritual side of me, you cannot destroy. And it is the spiritual side, which is made in the image of God, that he's molding, creating, working his son. He's not creating and working his son in my flesh, so that ultimately I will be the exact image of how Jesus looked physically when he walked on the earth. That's not what he's doing. It is the spiritual side. And it's that we're not very good with. Because we're still taught. We're still too interested in the flesh. This is why, you know, we change all the time. We're up and down. And God's trying to sustain us, calm us, so that we become resolute, so that we eventually begin to understand what he's recreating in me is his son spiritually in my life, because I'm spiritual. I've just got, this is a body. That's all it is. And this is a huge, huge thing for Christians to understand, because we're still so fleshly. Now, I know the flesh hurts. You've only got to cut yourself and you'll see exactly what the flesh is. And not only feel the pain of that, but you will shed blood as well. So that clearly tells us what we are. And what is attached with all of that is these emotions. And God has made us emotional. That isn't wrong. The problem is that when man fell, these emotions which he put within us became a prime target for the powers of darkness and for demons to work and influence against. That is the problem. And this is why, of course, we live in a world today that is so fleshly, that wants to feel good. And this is why drug taking is so epidemic. Because drug taking is about, I want to feel different. I don't want to feel this depression anymore, or this unhappiness anymore. And so they're willing to sacrifice themselves to drug taking just to have a 5-minute shot and go on a high. And the problem, of course, with drugs is it's the coming down afterwards where you drop further and further down. And that's the problem. And so they then become hooked, and there's that compulsion to take more and more and more. And of course, then it's affecting the body, the mind, the brain and everything. It's a vicious circle. But it tells us something. Drug taking tells us something as a society. It's actually a mirror, drug takers today, and it's epidemic, it's not getting, they can't control it. They try to, passing these laws and everything, it's not controllable. But what it is telling us, it's a mirror, is something we're looking at, which to a certain extent reflects me. But thank God, by the mercy of God, that I was not hooked up on that. And we can all praise and thank God and how he gets people off it. That's the point. But it's a mirror. It's telling us about society. And that's, of course, what governments and psychologists and you name it, they can't really look at that. They can't answer that problem. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can. Hallelujah. So this is what he's doing. As he's molding, working the image of Christ in and through me, of course, is why we know so much, and I make no apology for turning to it, because faith comes by hearing, reading this word, as he says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us, And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's still working within us, despising the shame. We're still ashamed at times of the cross and this walk, and we're still at times making apologies. But he'll work that. He'll work that. Because even though we may appear to be the scum of the earth, or whatever, we'll come to a point where we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, we're proud of it. Proud in the sense that it gives God the glory. That's what he's working within us. And he'll do this. But like all things, we have to be on our guard. And my desires, I have to check them. You see, our love can be built on natural desires. We can be deceived by building our faith on natural desires. And of course, we see this go on, and one of the things they love to use is, well, God gives us the desires of our heart. That's a great one that is used to excuse some ungodly things that are going on in a believer's life or in a church or whatever. Well, the desires have to be God's desires. It has to come out of a new created heart. That is the question. And so we really do have to watch this one. We all of us have to be on our guard. Because the true desire is Jesus first. And this is built and can only be built on a new created life that is found in Jesus. This is why it is paramount that you have to be born again, that you become a new creation. The tragedy is that we have a lot in churches who are just not born again. It is a counterfeit. And Satan knows how to try and counterfeit that new birth. And it creates confusion in the body of Christ. Because then the foundation is there of which God can build everything of himself in each of us. So what is this building? What is each of us? This building is that he may build his image, his life, through each one of us. It's got nothing to do with me. It's to do with the new life that is being built in and through me. My union, my oneness that I have with the Godhead. I do not hear this preached much when I listen to such sermons. And I listen occasionally, and it's not to criticize. I long for the full gospel to be preached. But you listen to a sermon, and yes, it's good, and whatever, but it only ever goes so far. And one of the problems that we are having today is that they are exposing things, they're exposing demonic forces, but they are not really showing the absolute complete way of deliverance. You find that that is not there. And the reason it's not there, and I asked the Lord, why is that not really being revealed as it should be? And as soon as I had said it, it was not rocket science. He said they have no revelation of the blood of the Lamb. I thought, that's it. That's it. There's very little praise and worship you find about the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. That's how we overcome in this last day. Because that is what we're going to overcome. That is the only way Satan can be overcome, is appealing, believing, testifying, applying the blood of Jesus in every situation that is not of God. They don't have that insight. But it's not just overcoming the blood of Jesus. It is overcoming because you have had your eyes open to the authority that is in the blood of the Lamb. It is the key to it, you see. And we know that when those disciples were trying to cast out the sons of Sceva, out of those demons. There's a clear test of that. And it's the same today. We have to know the authority in the blood of the Lamb when we apply that in whatever way the Holy Spirit leads and guides. That is how we overcome. And that seems to be lacking in the pulpit. There's not an understanding of this. And a lot of things they say is right. We think, well, hang on, yeah, we say that, we hold to that, we preach that, and so on. But as you go on and you listen to it, you think, what is it that's lacking in this? And what is often lacking is they do not show the real way of escape from what it is you may be going through, or the affliction, or whatever it is. It's not centering one's life back upon Christ and the one who is in you. They don't have this understanding that we are united in union with the Godhead himself. There are these truths that are lacking. It's just known in a theological sense, but it is not experienced. And there is the difference. And this is why the bride makes herself ready. As she makes herself ready, that making of herself ready is an experience. It's not just words. It's not just a theology. It is an experience. The experience is as I walk daily with Jesus, as I overcome, as I am learning and everything, that is the experience as we make ourselves ready. You see? It has to be. If this is not an experience, then we are not going to endure. We're not going to stay with it. It has to become reality. Jesus has to become a reality to you and me as we stay with it, as we endure. And certainly his love has to become a reality, because his love is going to cause me to turn away and obey him. So it must become a reality. And we want that reality, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're listening to the Word of God, that's why we take notes, and that's why I see some amens coming up here, because we want the reality of Jesus in our lives. Hallelujah. So there we are, first things first. I know we've heard a lot of it over the years, but we do need to be reminded. And God never makes a mistake. He knows exactly what we're to have week after week. And we praise and thank him for that. Hallelujah. Father, again, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are making it real to us, because you are real. You live, you are alive, and you are alive this very moment in our lives. And Lord, we want to thank you for this. Father, we will never understand why, out of all the millions, you have given us ears and heart to be able to hear your word, the revelation of your word. We don't understand, but all we know is that we are hearing. We are here today. We are together. We are experiencing you. And all we know is to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks from our heart. And so, Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who come into the room today. I pray, Lord, that they will experience more of Jesus in their everyday walk, and that they will be those overcomers, overcoming all those obstacles and all that the enemy tries to throw in our pathway. And so thank you again, Father, for this meeting. And I pray you will ever bless, preserve, and keep each one of us in the faith we ask. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.
Cradled in